Wow. Wow. Well, just a couple of quick things before we talk a little bit about Easter. So next Sunday, April 28th, going to be a really special service. Seriously. You don't want to miss next Sunday. We will be making an announcement that is talking about major changes in the church that'll be coming. You don't want to miss next Sunday. So that is next Sunday, April 28th. You want to know what's happening, be here. It's going to be a special day. And then the Sunday after, first Sunday in May, we'll be doing a sermon on evolution and creation and just talking about the science of evolution and the so-called science of evolution and the science of creation. We'll have literature for you. This is a topic that bothers so many Christians, and we can help you. We truly can help you, give you some information, what the scriptures say, what science says. It'll be really helpful, and there's good literature we'll be able to give to you. So that's in 2 weeks. So next Sunday, you don't want to miss, announcement. Sunday after, evolution versus creation. And then every Sunday after is awesome. Every Sunday after is awesome. You never want to miss, right? You never want to miss. I mean, really. I look at it like an investment. Being in church on Sunday is an investment. It's your chance to just settle yourself down, get refocused, open your heart to God. We know we should read and pray all week long. Some of us get to do that, some of us don't. But I think all of us can be in church on Sunday and give some time to God. And I tell you, you reap the benefit of it. You connect with God, you get the wisdom of God, you connect with family, you become part of an awesome church family. So, yeah, we'd like to see you all back every Sunday. Amen? Amen. So today's Easter, and Easter is one of those somewhat confusing holiday, controversial holiday. Everybody has different opinions about it. You say Easter, and some people think Easter bunny, some people think ham dinner with family, some people think, you know, painting Easter eggs, Easter egg hunt. But what's controversial is that those of us who are followers of Jesus, we make this proclamation. We believe that Easter is the story of a man who was crucified, buried, and really rose from the dead 3 days later. And it's truly controversial. You got people that are always debating whether this really happened. But this is what we declare. This is what we're celebrating, the resurrection of Jesus 3 days after his crucifixion. And so even on the first Easter holiday, when Jesus first rose, there was all kinds of confusion even among Jesus' followers. Chaos. I mean, think of what happened just in their lives from Palm Sunday to Friday. A Palm Sunday was like the culmination of their years of following Jesus. He is now publicly declared as the Messiah. Everybody's excited. He's going to be the Redeemer who will redeem Israel, and everybody's cheering. And then 5 days later, he's crucified for blasphemy because he called himself the Messiah. And you got the disciples scattered, their mind blown, like, what just happened? And so I just want to look at a couple passages this morning and just see if we get a little understanding of what it was like on that first Easter and how God worked with these people. But it's found in the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bibles, it's in the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 24, and it's the story of two disciples who were walking to a little town outside of Jerusalem called the Road to Emmaus. It starts in verse 13, chapter 24. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day, this would be Sunday, to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus walks with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" And one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" Can you imagine? The guy's setting Jesus straight. You know what? That's why they put his name there. We know who gave Jesus a little lip, you know. "You don't know what's with you, man?" And he said to them, "Well, what things?" And they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. They're talking to him. They don't even recognize him. He said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and with the prophet, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." So you got two disciples leaving Jerusalem, and they're all depressed and they're confused, and Jesus joins up with them. And it says here that their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. People struggle with this sometimes, like, well, why didn't they know him? Well, first of all, you know, Jesus had lots of followers, and they weren't all, like, close to him so that they would recognize him. I mean, you've all been in situations where you kind of know people, but you don't, and if you haven't seen them up close, you might recognize them, you might not. They couldn't recognize him, but you kind of think they should have. They should have. And it says their eyes were restrained. The reason their eyes were restrained, I think, first of all, is because Jesus didn't appear like they thought he should appear, like he maybe should be glowing, or he should have a halo, or he should talk with this booming voice. He wasn't special. He didn't stand out. And because of that, they couldn't recognize him. And I think this happens a lot with us. I think often God comes and walks right alongside of us, and he doesn't have that booming voice, and he's not glowing, and we don't hear it clearly with our ears. It just sounds like it sounds like our own voice. Is that you, Lord? And sometimes we just miss it. We don't recognize God is right with us. And the other reason their eyes were restrained is because things weren't working the way they thought they should work. They thought this is how things were going to work out. Jesus was going to be the Messiah. He was going to drive out the Romans. Israel would become a great nation again. They had their ideas, and God didn't answer or do it their way. And because of that, they just couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. But how many times has that happened to us? You know, you pray and you want God to do something in your life, and you're believing for it and you're trusting in it, and it just doesn't work out that way. Sometimes it works out totally different, and you just go, wow, what's going on here? And I think we just need to be careful. You know, we can have our ideas, but sometimes God does things differently, and we need to just be careful that we don't get so locked up in our own way of seeing things that we miss God's Holy Spirit. Here they are. Jesus is walking right next to them. He's standing right next to them. And they don't recognize it. But something was happening, because he gives them this Bible study, which has got to be one of the most amazing Bible studies of all time. He tells them from the beginning, starting in Genesis, all the way through the Old Testament, he's telling them all the stories about him. They're all about him. Wouldn't you like to have had that Bible study? I mean, that would be like, you know, I would buy that series, right? It wasn't a 15-minute sermon, I can tell you that. Hours. I mean, first of all, what it tells us is the entire Old Testament is all about Jesus. It really is. And something was happening as he's going through. He's explaining to them and opening their eyes to their understanding. You know, the scriptures have a way of like stirring your heart. And the book's alive. And when you hear it, it just kind of, it starts helping and settles things down. So many times I've just been reading the word and it's like it just speaks to me and it speaks about a situation. And you know, sometimes life is complicated. I mean, it really is. I don't know, maybe it's just me as I'm getting older. It just seems like stuff's getting complicated. Like have you tried to understand your Verizon bill? I'm not kidding, right? I mean, it's like 18 pages and it's like, what the heck? A couple years ago, I tried to understand my Columbia gas bill. I dare you to explain the Columbia gas bill. There's like 14 different items on there, and some of those have subcategories that we're being charged for, and I called them up, and I tried to write it all. I don't understand it. How about insurance? Anybody understand their insurance? I mean, wow, life just gets complicated. It kind of reminds me, I read this story about an elderly lady back during the Depression, and this is a true story. She goes into a life insurance company in Minneapolis, and she says to the clerk, I have to stop making these payments on my husband's life insurance. He says, what's up? She says, well, he's been dead for a bunch of years now, and I just can't afford this. And the clerk goes, what? She goes, he's been dead for years. I can't afford making these payments. He goes, well, what's the policy? He looks up the policy. The lady's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And here she is making payments when she could have been collecting. Well, it's sort of like that with Christianity. You know, people get so confused in their head, they really don't grasp, what is Christianity about? You ask people, what is Christianity about? You hear, oh, going to church, being good, you know, all kinds. It's about Easter. It's about the empty tomb. This is really what Christianity is about. The empty tomb means Jesus is alive today, and we can commune with him in a personal one-on-one. We really can have a relationship with him. The empty tomb means that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his death on the cross, for our sins was acceptable to God. Because if he did not rise, then we wouldn't be sure whether his death was any different than yours or mine. But the real important thing is his death paid the penalty for our sins. He paid the price. And here, listen, but here's the crazy thing. We have people still making payments like the lady when they should be collecting. You can be collecting now. The price has been paid. You don't have to make payments for your sins. You don't. Bill's been paid. You can collect now. You can collect the redemption. God has reconciled us to himself. We now have a relationship with God. Our sins are forgiven. You don't carry the weight. You don't have to undo the damage. God has forgiven you. And so this story here is just like, you get this feeling like, wow, something was happening. And they begin to realize, wow, you know, it says when he broke the bread, they all of a sudden realize, whoa, that was Jesus. And then he disappears. It's kind of a crazy story. But they're going, man, there was something stirring in our hearts. And yeah, that was God. So here's what I want to do. I want to just close in prayer here today, but there's just one more passage I want to look at here, and that is verse 28. Don't you think this is interesting when it says, they drew near to the village, and as they got to where they were going to stay, Jesus said, hey guys, I'll see you. And they said, whoa, why don't you hang out with us, spend the night? It says he would have continued on. He would have continued on, but they constrained him to stay. They were having this experience with Jesus. Their hearts were being stirred. They could feel something. They're hearing his voice. They knew something was going on, and they made a decision. Why don't you stay? And I tell you this, if they didn't make that decision for him to stay, he would have moved on. And here's what I want to say to you today. I believe with all my heart that God is stirring some of your spirits right now, that you're feeling something. Like you felt that as soon as you walked in the building. Maybe this is your first Sunday here. Maybe you've been coming for weeks, months, years. I don't know. But there's a stirring, sort of like we were talking with Delaney and Hunter. They felt something. That's not your feelings. That is the Holy Spirit. This is what they said here. Did not our hearts burn within us? Wasn't there a stirring? That's the stirring of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. It's your moment. You're like the two. And guess what? If you don't invite him in, he's moving on. For real. He's moving on. This happens. You have these moments with God, and you feel something, and it's your opportunity to say, hey, would you stay? You know, Jesus talks about this in the book of Revelations. He said, I knock at your door, the door of your heart. If you would invite me in, I'll come in. But if you don't invite me in, guess what? It says he would have moved on. And I just want to challenge you here this morning. This is Easter. This is the meaning of Christianity. And if you're sitting here and you've never really made that decision to say, I want Jesus in my life. I want him to stay. I don't want him to move on. I feel something. That's the Holy Spirit. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And I cannot think of a better time for you to invite him in. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have opened our eyes and you have revealed yourself to us. And Jesus, I sense your presence here this morning. I know you're stirring hearts just like you stirred the hearts of those two men on the road to Emmaus. You're knocking at doors. You're revealing yourself. God, I pray you break through any hesitancy, any fears, any inhibitions, anything, God, that the hunger would awaken and realize this is my opportunity to say, I want Jesus in my life. I receive him as my Lord and Savior. That you can stop trying to make payments and you can start collecting for the work that has been done by Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I just invite your presence here right now. Move among us. You brought each one of us here this morning that you might touch us, you might reveal yourself to us, that you might bring us closer to you. If I'm speaking to you this morning and you're feeling that stirring in your heart, I would like to just pray for you. We just want you to take that opportunity to respond. And in just a minute, I'll ask you, just raise your hand, and when you raise your hand, we're just going to pray with you right there. We're going to pray a simple prayer, but I tell you, just like in the story, Jesus is going to stay. He's going to stay. It's your moment. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just come. If you're feeling that tug at your heart, would you just do me a favor? Just raise your hand. Pastor Dave, I feel that tug at my heart. I feel that stirring. I want to respond here. I want to invite him in. Just raise your hand. We're going to pray with you right where you're sitting. Just come, Holy Spirit. Welcome your presence, Father. Just come, Father. Feel that knocking at the door. Stirring. That's not just your feelings, that's the Holy Spirit. Just slip your hand up, we're going to pray with you. Right there, there you go. Good for you. Hold your hand up. Come on. You don't want them walking by. All the way in the back, there you go. Hold it up. Come on. Come on, it's Sunday, it's Easter. You're walking on the road. You feel some stirring. What is that? It's Jesus right now. Hold your hand up. Come on, we're going to pray right there. Good for you. Good for you. Come on, there's three hands up. Anybody else? This is your moment. You surely don't want them walking by. Anybody else this morning? In the name of Jesus, open your hearts. Okay, just keep your hands up. We're just going to pray. Everybody just pray this simple prayer together. Jesus, we're opening our heart right now. And we're inviting you in. Please stay with us. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 So listen, after the service, we'll have some people in the back here that would love to talk with you. We've got a little gift bag, just kind of talks about this decision you're making, try to help you process through some of the stuff. I'd love to have you head back there after the service. Can we all stand? So this is it. This is Easter, and this is the Sunday we give it all away. Everything we collect today goes into the Easter offering. You get to choose where it goes. You saw up on the screen there, $50. You can buy a wheelchair that we will send to Vietnam. $50. Every time I say it, it sounds ridiculous, but it's for real. $195, we send clean water filters. Actually, they manufacture them on the Amazon and deliver them with our missionary down in Brazil. $180 feeds a child for an entire year in Haiti, one meal a day. Incredible, absolutely incredible. If you forgot your checkbook, write on the envelope. If you want to give electronically, you can do it online. You can give through the mobile app. You can do it through texting. However you do it, everything we collect today through the end of this week goes into this fund. If you want to do the whole package, all three, it's, I think, $425. If you want to do double, it's $850. But I feel totally comfortable telling you this is a time to sacrifice. It is a great, great offering. And these things truly are being delivered in the name of Jesus, truly are making an impact in countries where people are really, really in need. I've been to all three of them. They're significant. It is a wonderful opportunity. I challenge you to give cheerfully. This isn't a pledge. So this doesn't drag out for weeks. This is today through the end of this week. And we want to give and be a blessing. Amen? It's an opportunity to be part of something way bigger than yourselves. Like, this is our second year in Haiti. We did 160 children all year. This is our third year in Brazil. We did 169 water filters so far. This will be our 10th year, Vietnam. 5,709 wheelchairs have been delivered. Really, really incredible. 29 years of doing this, all total, we've given over $1.3 million to caring for people who are needy and doing it in the name of Jesus. Let's do it again. Amen? Let's have our ushers come.